It's not a surprise to have a feast day in honor of the apostles. I mean, we have a feast day for all the apostles. Every apostle has a feast day. So naturally, we have a feast day in honor of St. Peter, first of the apostles, Peter who stands out among the apostles as the leader, who's given this special title, Rock. It's no surprise that we have a special feast day in honor of St. Paul. I mean, St. Paul was the chosen instrument of God to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. We do have a feast in honor of St. Peter in February. And we do have a feast day in honor of St. Paul in January. The surprise is that we have not just a feast day, but a solemnity of these two apostles together. So the church very deliberately takes these two key figures who we could celebrate on their own and puts them together. Something extra going on here. After all, if you wanted to have a feast day of two saints together, if you wanted to put someone together with St. Paul, for example, who would you choose? Well, maybe Paul and Barnabas, because they were together all the time. Or Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus. Paul and Luke. After all, Luke is an evangelist and a missionary, and he wrote a big portion of the New Testament, and Paul wrote a big portion of the New Testament, so let's put Paul and Luke together. No. If you want to put someone together with Peter, who would you put with Peter? Or maybe his brother Andrew. Or maybe one another of the apostles who actually lived with. He didn't live with Paul. Peter didn't journey with Paul or serve with him. They knew each other for sure. They met each other. They discussed and worked together. They were united. But they weren't together in their apostolic ministry. So you would think, well, if you're going to put somebody with Peter, you could choose somebody else. Even putting two apostles together is a little unusual. The aside from Peter, who are the most prominent apostles? James and John. Don't celebrate them together. They each have their own feast day, right? John is in Christmas time. James is in July. I don't remember. James is in July. So and my point is, there's something extra going on here. This is not just a feast day of apostles. This is a feast day of two of the most prominent of the apostles, and it's the two of them together. So why is this? What is the church trying to tell us here? Yes, the church wants us to know the importance of each of the apostles, Peter and Paul. The church wants us to know that Peter is the rock, that Peter is the leader, the chosen foundation stone on whom Jesus will build his church. Yes. And the church wants us to know Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles, the great missionary. But the church also wants to know that these two go together. So this is a feast day, not just of apostles, but of the church. Of two apostles of the church and two essential elements of the church that always go together. What are these two elements of the church? Well, Peter represents the church's unity, the church's authority, the church's hierarchy. The structure, the foundation, that's Peter represents not only himself and his own role, but also an aspect of the church, which is its God-given structure. God decided that the church would have this foundation and this structure, these apostles and their successors, the bishops. It's not just a human institution. And God is the one who made known to Peter the real identity of Jesus. Jesus said, well, who do people say that I am? Well, there are lots of answers. Who do you say that I am? Peter's the one who speaks, and he doesn't just speak on his own. He, and Jesus says it clearly, he is speaking based on a revelation from God the Father. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Jesus says, but my heavenly Father. So you have a special gift, Peter, for declaring the truth of the faith, for identifying who Jesus is. Okay, so that's Peter. Paul, my goodness, from the moment of his conversion, was a dynamo of evangelistic energy, of missionary zeal. So he represents the church's mission of making the gospel known to the ends of the earth. So if Peter represents the structure of the church, the unity of the church, Paul represents the work of the church to make this known to everybody. So you see how it works. You have to have both of them. Yeah, both of them represent both of these, but they're symbolic of specific characteristics of the church. If you only have Peter, meaning if you only have the hierarchy and the structure and the foundations, and you don't have Paul, well then you end up with a kind of empty building, right? A kind of a museum. If you only have Paul without Peter, well then you have wild energies but no structure. So Peter and Paul go together, meaning in the church has both its hierarchical gifts and its charismatic gifts. It has it's a rock and it's a fire, both together. And it's a great joy to have both of these. If you talk to some people who are not Catholic and you ask them, what's the church based on? They'll usually tell you, The Bible, right? The Word of God. And that's not wrong, but it's not what Jesus says in the Gospel. He doesn't say, I'm going to build my church on the Bible. He doesn't say, I'm going to build my church on the proclamation of the Word. That's essential. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, I'm going to build my church on this rock. I'm going to build my church on you, Peter, the rock, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. So to have the Bible without the church is to not have the church, is to not have what Jesus established. And that's why what happens when people have only the Bible, they end up getting fragmented because everybody has his own interpretation of the Bible, and if they don't agree, well, then they just start another church. What unites the church is not the Bible. What unites the church is Peter, meaning the Pope. So we have to have the Pope and the bishops, and we have to have the living Word. Now, just to reflect on this a little bit, I want to mention a current news story. Perhaps you heard about this case of an archbishop who has been formally accused of being in schism. This just came up last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago. This Archbishop Vigano, an Italian archbishop. Now he's an old man, he's in his 80s, but he was a very prominent archbishop and a servant of the church, had a very good career of serving the church. He served in the Vatican, and at the end of his service, he was assigned as the papal nuncio to the United States. So a very high-ranking archbishop. After he retired, about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, he launched into an attack on the church and on the Pope, accusing the church of hiding some terrible scandals and accusing the Pope of not taking care of his responsibility. And he called on the Pope to resign. So that was maybe 6 or 7 years ago. Well, and that was already quite a stunning thing for an archbishop to do, but people said, well, no, what is this guy saying? What is his accusation? Is he a whistleblower or is he crazy? does he have truth to speak or has he lost his perspective? Well, it wasn't clear at the beginning because he was a very brilliant man, a high-ranking church official, archbishop. But as the years went on, Archbishop Vigano started to launch long statements about all the problems in the church and the world, and they got weirder and weirder. He started to say that Pope Francis isn't really the Pope at all. Then he started to say, well, the church isn't really the church at all. After the Vatican Council, the church is no longer the authentic church. He started to say things that were stranger and stranger until finally the church just this month said, well, wait a minute, let's call this Archbishop Bigenau and make clear that what he's saying is not what the church is saying. He's separating himself from the church. Schism means to be cut off from the unity of the church. Heresy means to be cut off from the truth of the church. So if here we're talking about Peter and Paul. If you're cut off from Peter, you're in schism. If you're cut off from Paul, you're in heresy. Now, that's a simple way of saying it. But you see, we can be cut off from the structure of the church, or we can be cut off from the truth of the gospel. Schism and heresy. Well, the accusation against Archbishop Bigenau is schism. And so they said, come to Rome and answer these accusations that are arising from your own public statements. I don't know what the Vatican thought was going to happen. Maybe they were hoping he would say, oh, I'm sorry that I said these things, or maybe I'm sorry that that these are misunderstood, or this is what I really mean, or I declare myself united with the Holy Father and with the Church. Maybe that's what they were hoping. But what happened was he launched another very strong accusation against the Church and against the Pope. He said, he's not the Pope at all. He won't even call Pope Francis the Pope. He won't even call him the Pope. He doesn't think he's the Pope. And he won't accept what the Church teaches since the Vatican Council. And so he made a public statement to say, I'm not in union with the Church. Now, the funny thing is, not sad thing is, the sad thing is, he says, I'm the one who's speaking the truth about the Church. I'm the one who is declaring what the Church is and what the Church should teach. Not the Pope. Now, on a feast day like this, we have to say, well, how do we determine who's right? How can we figure out whether Archbishop Bigenau is telling the truth or if he's in error? Well, by going back to the foundation on Peter and Paul, back to the foundation that God himself established, once someone says the Pope is wrong or he's not the Pope and I'm right, he's automatically cut himself off from the communion. He cut himself off from the unity. That's one of the most fundamental criterion for being a Catholic, to be in union with the Pope. It doesn't mean we have to agree with the Pope about everything. No. It doesn't mean we have to think that the Pope is doing everything right. But we have to be in communion with Peter. We have to be standing on the same rock. Otherwise, we're standing somewhere else. Okay, so I mentioned that maybe this is not the biggest news in the secular world, but in the church, this is a big controversy. This very prominent church leader, a high-ranking man, who is now publicly declaring himself, he doesn't claim to be the real Pope, but he claims to be the spokesman of the truth of the church against the church. And the sad result is he's in schism. He's cut himself off from the very thing that we're celebrating in this feast day. Okay, so I say that's a very sad situation, and let's pray for Archbishop Bigenau. But we can also take his example as an instruction. What are we really celebrating on the feast of the apostles, Peter and Paul? We're not just celebrating Peter the man and Paul the man, even though we honor them in the highest possible way. But we're also celebrating the church that God has established. We're celebrating the fullness of the faith that God has given to the church and has handed on to us through the ministry of the apostles. That's what we're celebrating. If we want to celebrate it fully, we have to say yes to it. Yes, I believe what Peter believes. Yes, I believe what Paul preaches. Yes, I believe that what Peter declared and Jesus affirmed and what Paul proclaimed, I believe those things. And not only that, I believe that they laid down their lives in the city of Rome for this one church, this one faith. And that's the one church and the one faith that unites us. I should have said that at the beginning. Why are Peter and Paul put together? One of the main reasons is because they are the foundation stones of the Church of Rome. They were both martyred in Rome, martyred by the Roman Empire, not at the same time, maybe a few years apart, but clearly for the same noble cause, that is the establishment of Christianity in the heart of the world. So Peter and Paul, we celebrate them, we rejoice in who they are, but also rejoice in the church that we have been brought into by their apostolic mission and their intercession. And we pray for the unity of the church, the unity of the church under the successor of Saint Peter, and we pray for the extension of the church with the fire of the Holy Spirit that drove Paul to the ends of the earth. So with this celebration and with this confidence and with this prayer, we celebrate Saints Peter and Paul, apostles.